Hey man, open your Bibles or look at your sermon notes here to Ephesians chapter 6 as we continue our spiritual warfare series. And even though we're dealing with prayer, down in verse 18, we are still in the section regarding spiritual warfare. And there is an important part of our armor is the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. And we need to pray the Word of God. In fact, we looked at praying the Word of God last week, and today I want to show you the importance of pleading the Word in warfare. Pleading the Word in warfare. And by the word plead, I mean that word in its legal definition of using the Word of God in a legal sense, but I also mean it in the sense of begging. And it's very important that we understand that today. Let's pray. Father, give us order in the house of God. Thank you for the good folks that have come to church. Lord, we do pray that you will open our eyes to thy word. You are good, Father. Be exalted in the house of God today and in our hearts. In the name of Jesus, amen. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. To use the Word of God in warfare, we need to know its commandments. We've been dealing with that for several weeks. And we need to use these commandments against the temptations of Satan. Jesus said every time the devil tried to get him to do something, he said, "It is written. It is written." And you need to know that it is written so you can use that against the devil's temptation. But last week we took a look at how we use the Word of God in prayer. Because notice the colon here, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer. And I believe it's teaching us to pray the Word of God. God has given you promises, and just this, which is the Word of God, take it by quoting its commands against Satan, and take it by praying its promises in the face of temptation. But there is more today. We're going to add on to this today, the particular manner in which we should pray. This is what we need to notice today. First, we are told, if you look up in verse 18 again, praying what? Praying what? Praying always with all prayer. All prayer. That means all the types of prayer that are in the Bible. And that's very important, using prayer as a general word. With all prayer. But notice what it says. We're told to pray always. Always. Don't neutralize this by saying it simply means some kind of prayer spirit. A spirit of prayer. People look in that, they say, "Are you praying?" They say, "Oh, I pray always. I'm in the spirit of prayer. I don't go to church. I'm in the spirit of church. I don't tithe. I'm in the spirit of tithing. I don't do anything. I'm in the spirit of it," see? And what that is a cop-out. I tell you what, don't neutralize the Word of God. Don't let it become so mystical that you lose sight of the practical teaching. If you end up in a prayer spirit, a spirit of prayer, it'll be because you have been literally and practically praying, using times of prayer. In other words, you're keeping consistent in your times of prayer, praying whenever it is reasonable to do so. The Psalms speak of praying in the morning, praying at noon, praying in the evening. And I believe these are referring to more than just a few words said to God. I believe that's referring more than just some spirit of prayer. He's talking about he gets down on his knees in the morning time and has time with God. He gets on his knees at noon and has time with God. And he gets on his knees in the evening and has a time with God. And in between, he is in a spirit of prayer because he's using the times of prayer in a godly way and he's being faithful to them. He says, praying always. And I believe we should pray always. You know, prayer is primarily asking. And when it says all prayer, this should include our thanksgiving, our praise, our worship, along with our asking, as well as confession of sin. as well as intercession. There's a lot to do. There's adoration of God. There's worship. There's thanksgiving. There's asking God. There's confession of sin. There's intercession for others. And I'll tell you something else always means. Not only morning, evening, and noon every single day, but it also means don't stop. Do not stop. Don't give up. Don't lose faith. Don't get weary. Don't cease just because the answer seems delayed. You say, I tried that for a week and nothing's really changing. Well, you owe it to God. It's your duty to pray. It's your duty to rely upon God. We need to pray in faith. We need to expect that God is the one we go to. He is our source. He is the answer. And we need to go to God, not get weary. The Bible says, 1 Thessalonians 5, pray what? Without ceasing. There it is. Pray always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You're to give thanks to God without ceasing. You're to pray, ask God for what you need without ceasing. And Jesus explains what this means. See, I'm not coming to you and giving you my interpretation of it. Let me show you what it means from the Word of God. Jesus refers not to a spirit of prayer, praying every second of the day, but of not stopping because there's a delay. And He says this in Luke 18. He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought what? Always to pray, just like it says over here in Ephesians, and not to faint. But what does He mean when He explains that? He talks about a widow who goes to the judge. And she keeps coming back. She keeps coming back. And He finally says in verse 5, because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her what? Continual coming she weary me. In other words, she was going to keep coming until she got the answer. She wasn't going to say, He doesn't care, just forget about it. She says, I'm going to keep going till He gives me what I want. And that's what it means to pray always. That's what it means to pray without ceasing. Pray until God answers. Pray until God answers or tells you to quit praying. I tell you what, when David was praying for his son that was smitten and sick, he prayed and he prayed and he prayed and he prayed until God took his life and told him, no, I'm not gonna. But that was an answer, wasn't it? That was an answer. And God, David washed his face and quit fasting and basically went about his business. And he had other things to pray about though, didn't he? But I tell you what, when God puts something on your heart, when you got a burden, you keep praying, and it's very important that you understand this is part of your spiritual warfare. You got a sin in your life, and you say, well, I prayed to get rid of it. I prayed to get rid of that addiction. Have you really prayed to get rid of the addiction? Have you asked God, will you take this away from me? That's part of your spiritual warfare. Not only believing the promises of God that sin shall not have dominion over you, but praying the promises of God. Have you prayed to get rid of your addiction? Have you prayed the sin out of your family and loved ones? You said, yeah, I did pray one time. Well, why didn't you come back? Why didn't you come back? Why didn't you keep praying until this thing was taken away? So this is the perseverance that's mentioned in our text. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto. This is part of our watching. Jesus says, watch, not only for His coming, but watch with prayer. Watching thereunto with all, notice what it says, perseverance and supplication for all saints. That's very important for you to see. It says that for your intercession for one another, if we're going to stand, we need to pray for one another. Paul said, pray for me, pray for us. We need to pray for one another that we'll be able to stand in this warfare with Satan. And the Bible says, you persevere in it. Do not cease praying for one another. Don't give up on them. Keep at it. Keep crying out to God for them. And it's very important that we don't stop. And it's easy to stop. It's easy to stop. There was a man that Paul mentions in the epistle to the Colossians. What the devil's going to try to get you to do is give up on the goodness of God. He's going to try to make you lazy in regard to this thing called prayer. But I want you to know prayer is work. Prayer is work. Colossians 4, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you. And notice what he does. Always, there's that word again. Always what? Always laboring fervently. That means boiling hot. Always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. There it is, summed up in a nutshell. There is your spiritual warfare. He's praying, but he's not just praying. He's working at it. He's working at it. And he's not giving up. It's not just a phase he's going through. He does it always. He doesn't burn out like so many New Year's resolutions. He stays at it until the answer comes. Does he not? And it's not just for himself, it's for others. And if we would get on our faces before God and get boiling hot in our prayer and work at this thing, we'd get fruit. Even more fruit than we have. This thing is warfare. We're told to stand against the devil in the evil day. And having done all, to stand with the whole armor of God. And this sword of the Spirit is part of our armor. And we are to pray the promises of God for ourselves and for others, that they would stand, but not just stand, stand perfect and complete. Perfect and complete. No armor missing. No part of their sanctification lacking. Their whole body, soul, and spirit preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord. And we must keep at this type of spiritual warfare. We must labor at it. It should be work. It's a delightful work. It's a labor of love. It's a debt we owe, but it is labor. Amen? Ephesians chapter 6, praying always with all prayer. Wait a second here. And supplication. Oh, how easy. People just skip over that. Amen. Let's get in the Word of God today. Let's get in the Word of God today. All prayer and supplication. I tell you what, a sermon's not some magic spell. As long as you're in the room with it, it's just going to all of a sudden get under your pillow or get in your ear, and you're going to leave here holy. You do that every single week, year after year after year. It's no wonder you will and don't have fruit. We have to concentrate on the Word of God. Amen? And I tell you what, you got all week for all the other time to do whatever you want. This is time to listen to the Word of God preached. The Word of God preached. And I expect you to honor that time. It says, praying always with all prayer. And what does it say? And supplication in the Spirit. And watching thereto with all perseverance and what? Supplication for all saints. We have something added to prayer. We are to do something more than merely pray. That is, ask God to confirm His promises toward us and others. We are to supplicate. And if you're not supplicating, that's the problem. Just as we go through all of these parts of the armor about the belt of truth and being sincere, not a hypocrite with God, the gospel shoes, getting some soul winning in your life regularly. A lot of people are missing that. Breastplate of righteousness. All of these things that are so important in your life. Well, now we're getting down here to prayer. And maybe you're already saying, you know what, I don't think I've been really praying consistently for myself and others in regard to spiritual warfare, that I could stand against Satan, that my wife, that my husband, that my children could stand against Satan. I really need to get more of this prayer now that I see that it's part of me standing against the devils. This is so serious in my life. But hold on a second, we're not done. There's this thing called supplication. And if you're not supplicating, then we're missing something here. Whatever it means, we better do it. It's part of this spiritual warfare. It's part of our ability to stand against Satan and his devices and his wiles. It determines the degree that others who depend on our prayers and supplications will stand. Notice we see this word in Titus. I exhort therefore that first of all, what? He just talked in the previous verses about the warfare that Titus, that's Timothy. That's supposed to be 1 Timothy. The warfare that he was to accomplish. And it says here that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. The first thing he mentions in regard to this warfare is supplications. Isn't that amazing? And I bet you that 90% of American Christians, even though this is mentioned as one of the most important parts of our warfare, 90% of American Christians don't even know what that is. And maybe that's what's wrong with America today. The Oxford Dictionary defines supplication, here it is, to beg. Okay, God wants you to ask and God wants you to beg. You say, why would God want me to beg? Sometimes God wants to know that you need it. God wants you. Do you really want this person to stand? Do you really want this sin taken away, or do you love it? Dictionaries and commentators add that to supplicate means to ask humbly, to ask submissively, to ask earnestly. As Robert Newton in 1854 says, prayer means that we are to ask the Lord to give us something. And supplication means something more than mere prayer. We are to entreat for it. We are to implore God to give us the blessings we need. We are to plead for it. In researching this word, saints of God, I found out that it, in its root meaning, it means to bend. To supplicate means to bend. Not bend to Satan, but bend to who? Bend to God. You see it in the word supple. You see it in the word pliable. At one time, it meant to bend the knee in thanksgiving. When the Romans had a great victory, they would come and supplicate to their God. They would bend their knee and give gifts to their God. Now, you can stand praying, but supplication is often used for thanking and begging on bending knee. Bended knee. And I believe that it's no use to bend your knee if you're not going to bend your heart. So to supplicate means to bend your heart and your body to God in humility and submission. But I want to use the King James Bible. You know, the King James Bible is its own dictionary. If you really watch the context and you have a word that you don't understand, if you just really look and use your concordance and get in that King James Bible, and I'm not talking about the Greek words in the back. I'm talking about just see how the word's used in the Bible. But also look at the context and it'll help you understand what a word means. In fact, we can go beyond these dictionaries right now in this word supplication and get an illustration, an example of supplication lived out. Let me show you this. Because this is what we need, folks. If we don't get some begging in our lives for ourselves and others, God is not going to give us the victory that we need. So we need this supplication. We need it, and people around you need it. And let me show you supplication, what it means. It's part of your spiritual warfare. You better get it. 1 Kings 8. Have thou respect unto the what? The prayer of thy servant. And to his what? Supplication. How many things you see there? Two. O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry and to the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee today. Okay, well, prayer was already up there. He already said that. So supplication has been replaced by what? Cry. Folks, to supplicate is to cry to God. To cry to God. To plead and weep with God over something you need. And you don't do that with everything you ask, but there are some things that don't come out. There are some things that won't be answered without pleading, without crying unto God. And Paul said, don't forget your supplications. When you're praying, you pray to stand and you pray for others to stand. But don't you forget your pleadings. Don't forget your weeping. Don't forget your crying out to God. Don't just do it one time. I mean, you got to stay at it. Cry unto God until you get the answer. Supplications are weeping prayers. They're humble, sincere, earnest, heartfelt petitions to the Lord. I'll show you in the Psalms. The Psalms are full of them. I'll just give you a few. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto Thee daily. It's as if He says, I know, God, that I better learn to supplicate. And if I don't supplicate, if I don't cry unto Thee about these things, You're not going to answer. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto Thee daily. You say, I have a big sin in my life. Have you been obeying God in regard to it? Have you been fighting His way? And have you been crying unto the Lord to get rid of it? Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer. Attend unto the voice of my, what? Supplications. This time He calls crying supplications. In the day of my trouble I will call upon Thee, for Thou wilt answer me. O turn unto me and have mercy upon me. Give Thy strength unto Thy servant, and save the son of Thy handmaid. Oh, I tell you what, if you had a Christian mama, say, Lord, save the son of Thy handmaid. Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed. Because Thou, Lord, has hope in me and comforted me. What's the psalmist doing? He is supplicating God. He's pouring out this prayer for himself, and that he might stand, and that the mocking of his enemies, that their mouths would be shut. Have you ever gone to God and cried to God? Oh, some of you are not crying enough. Amen. Some of you are too hard. Some of you are too American to cry. Amen. Some of you are too modern and American to do like them old-fashioned saints and get down to that old altar, get out there in the woods and weep and pray for to God in regard to your sins and the sins of your family. Amen. Some of you don't receive anything from God because you never hollered out to God and asked Him for it. You're too dignified. Too cool. Don't want anybody to see you. Take the battery out of your cell phone so nobody will listen in. Take the battery out of your cell phone, all them other gadgets you got. Throw them in the yard somewhere and get somewhere where you can call out to God. It's one of the problems of living in the city, isn't it? Boy, you need to find wood. Saints always want to know where the woods are. So, okay, there's the woods. I can get away from people around there. Try not to get poison ivy, but get out there and pray. And I tell you what, it'd be better to get poison ivy than go without God. Amen? Woo! Psalms 30, for His anger endureth but a moment. You believe that? In His favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Don't you want some of that joy? You better get some of the weeping. Amen. I cried to Thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. In other words, that's the poetic description of what crying is. There's a crying without supplication, but there's not much supplication without crying, or at least some kind of pleading. You understand that? Psalms 55. And you know what? You got to get this thing broken up. Sometimes you pray and you're not broke up yet. And you pray and you pray, and sometimes it takes a long time for that hard, fallow ground to get plowed up. You got to confess your sin, and you're confessing your sin, and you're pleading, and you're confessing your sin, and you're looking at the glories of God, and you see His throne, and you're praying, and you're praying, and you're pleading, and all of a sudden it gets broken up, and that old river, finally, the floodgates open up, and it starts coming forth, and them tears start coming, and you start crying out to God. Now you're broken up, and that's what God wanted, people. He wanted them cold, dead hearts broken up. And then when you get that heart broken up and that floodgate comes, then the floodgates of heaven start opening up and God starts responding. Are you listening? Psalms 55, give ear to my prayer, O God. Hide not Thyself from my what? Supplication. Evening and morning and noon will I pray and cry aloud. He said, not only will I pray, I'm going to supplicate and He shall hear my voice. A lot of people read this and they say, well, see there, I'm going to pray. And I did it in the morning, I did it at noon, and I did it in the evening, and God's still not hearing. Well, you left out a big part of the verse. It's prayer and supplications. It's prayer and supplications. Don't fake it. But when you start thinking about your sin, thinking about your need, thinking about your love for others, I tell you what, you don't have to fake it. It'll come. It'll come. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Is that a promise? Oh, why don't you grab a hold of that right there? Lord, You said that You'll never suffer the righteous to be moved. And Father, I feel like I'm about to move. Lord, please help me. Help me to stand. I claim that promise right now. My loved one is moving, Lord. He's been moved. Help him, Lord. Help him. Psalms 142. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. There it is. I cried unto Thee, O Lord. He said, I don't know what the word supplication means. Have you really tried to find out? That's the problem with American Christians today. They'd rather go to some Greek or some... Why don't we try to find out what it means? Listen to what he says. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and with my voice did I make supplication. So it's showing you it's some type of begging and weeping and crying unto God. And that's really what the word means. It means to bend yourself unto God on your face as somebody falling down at somebody's feet and begging. That's what supplication means. Supple, pliant, get on your face before God. Bend your heart to Him. I cried unto Thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Psalms 28, unto Thee will I cry, O Lord my rock, be not silent to me. You need something from God? Oh, you need more than you think you need. Laodicea is rich in what? Need of nothing, so they think. But Laodicea, though they have all kinds of counselors and all their ways of doing things, they don't see how bad they need God. And you know, that's what American churches have become, the church of Laodicea. Oh, you need God. You need God. He says, buy of me some gold. Spend some time on your faith. Why don't you pay? Why don't you sacrifice for it? Get down on your face before God. Spend some time with the true counselor. Amen? The capital C counselor. Amen. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry unto Thee, when I lift up my hand. Don't be afraid of lifting your hands to the Lord. I tell you what, you get into this thing, there'll be times you just got to lift your hand to Jesus. You just got to lift your hand, you need Him. And just let Him know that you need Him. Lift your hands to the Lord. Lift your voice to the Lord. Blessed be the Lord, because He hath heard the voice of my supplications. Did He hear the voice of just His mere prayer? No, he heard the voice of his what? Supplication. David knew how to get out in the woods and cry after God. And if you've got stinking sin in your life, I don't think you've been crying after God to get rid of it. God will listen to you. He says, command thou me. Oh, He's still Lord of lords. But we ought to obey the Lord. When He says, you come and you ask me and you keep knocking. And if I look like I'm not listening or I look like I'm asleep, wake me up. That's what God teaches us in the Bible. He was asleep on the pillow one time and they went. They didn't just say, scratch, 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 Jesus, wake up. No, they cried after Him. Jesus, wake up. Psalms 31. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Are you in any trouble, folks? My eye is consumed with grief. Yeah, my soul and my belly. Let the lying lips be put to silence. For I said in my haste, I'm cut off from before thy eyes. Nevertheless, thou heard the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. You finally get to a place and say, God's not answering, God's not answering. And you've been praying and you've been praying. Like, God's not answering, God's not answering. And you finally get to the point that that old sinful flesh inside of you says, God has just turned me over. He's not hearing. He's left me. And sometimes you start getting real sinful and you start saying, God must not be good. And then all of a sudden you get filled with tears and you find yourself suddenly not as busy as you thought. Everything else can go to hell as far as you're concerned. You're going to throw it down. You're going to get down on your face before God. And for the first time now, you're really praying. For the first time, you're really supplicating the Lord. And it's come out now, and for the first time you really feel your need and you really feel your sin. And you're hollering out to God. And the Bible says that He hath heard the voice of my what? supplications, supplications. Oh, Psalm 31, have mercy upon me, O Lord. I'm in trouble. Thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto Thee. Hey, what about Psalm 130? Out of the depths. You ever been in the deep? Out of the depths. Jonah was in the deep, wasn't he? Hey, he went real deep. He just kept on going. Out of the depths. He went down in the whale's belly. He went down to the bottom of the sea. And he didn't stop. He went on down to hell. Say, I don't believe that. Well, you don't believe the Bible. Out of the depths have I cried unto Thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let Thy ears be attentive to the voice of my what? Supplications. You know, I think of Jacob. There was a time when Jacob done got himself in such a mess, and he knew Esau was coming after him. And it's payback time. And he said, Esau's coming. And I tell you what, Jacob finally got to the point where all his conniving, all his hypocrisies, all his supplanting, all of the things that he tried to use to get ahead and always juggle and stay ahead of everything, all his little deceptions, thinking he's so smart, there came a time when it was all just crumbling to the ground. It's payback time. And it's at that place where Jacob grabbed a hold of God, the angel of the Lord. And the Bible says in Hosea 12, he had power over the angel. That's the angel of the Lord. That's God. Do you know that? Power over God? Oh, believe me, God's sovereign as can be. But God wants you to grab a hold of Him. You understand that? God wants you to grab a hold of Him and not let Him go until He blesses you. He had power over the angel. And the angel said, let me go. The angel of the Lord said, let me go. And he wrestled with him. And he wrestled with him all night. And the Bible says Jacob was called Israel. He was a prince of God. And the Bible says he prevailed. The old timey fellows called it prevailing prayer. They would write articles and books on wrestling with God in prayer. We're losing that in our churches, aren't we? All those old timey people, they knew how to get down and wrestle with God. And you probably wouldn't like, probably would have felt a little strange in a place like that. Everybody wrestling with God and weeping, you know. I remember the first time when I thought I was cool and dignified and had everything together and I wasn't broken up yet. I didn't know the Lord fully like I should. And I walked into a place where the old preacher got down on his knees when he prayed and it weirded me out. I kind of got uncomfortable as I sat there, you know, as the old preacher down on his knees. I don't know why it made me uncomfortable. I know why I did. Because I realized I wasn't doing that. Amen? That's right. Well, you get the whole church down on their face before God weeping. It's a little strange, ain't it? It ought not be strange. That ought to be normal. Amen? He had power over the angel and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him. Some of that weeping wasn't begging, but some of it was. I believe he was begging and pleading out to God. He was on bended knee and he had bended heart and he grabbed a hold of God and wouldn't let him go until he blessed him. A supplication is a petition with tears. It's heartfelt, earnest cry unto God. It's not letting God go. Hey, Jesus knew how to do this with the Father. It says in Hebrews 5, who in the days of His flesh, when He had offered up prayers and what? Supplications with strong crying. Not just crying, but what? Strong crying and tears unto Him that was able to save Him from death and was heard in that He feared. Jesus in that garden knew how to go to the Lord. He knew how to go to the Lord and wrestle with God. And He teaches us that there's not just prayer, but there's supplication. You know, some of you children have never cried. Oh, believe me. When somebody hit you with the soccer ball, you cried. When somebody took your little baby, pretend baby, you cried. When somebody took your tractor, you cried. When little brother is being mean to you or older sister, you cried. There's some of you children that have done a lot of crying. Some of you cry too much. Y'all listening? But how many of you children have ever cried to God for somebody to be saved? How many of you children have ever gone with God? Hey, why don't you learn to know the Lord now? The Bible says, it talks about children and it says all of a sudden they began to walk with the Lord. But usually it says they began to call on the Lord. You know what you need to do? There's a time in your life when you need to meet the Lord in a deep way. And you need to realize you have a need for Him. And away from everybody, you need to get on your face and start crying to God for your sins. And crying to God and pleading with Him that others around you might stand. If you know somebody in this church that's not living right and saying things they ought not say, you ought to be on your face crying out to God for them. It's very important. You know, without supplications, we're missing a necessary part, aren't we? We're not doing our part to qualify for the promises. Now this thing starts getting real serious, folks. Look at Philippians chapter 4. Now read it once you understand all of this. Now go back to that famous verse there, popular verse in Philippians 4. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. There's not a counselor, a psychobabble, psychiatrist on earth that can give you what the Holy Ghost can give you in the Word of God. And the Lord promises the peace of God. There's no psychotropic, tranquilizing, drug, garbage that can give you what God can give you right here. The peace of God is what man needs. The Bible said the wicked are like raging waves of the sea and they cannot rest. You will not rest in your wickedness. You need Jesus and you need holiness. And not only that, part of your holiness is learning how to pray. And cast those care, because you find out you're carrying them around. And you find out that much of your problem is that you got distress and you've got things that you've been carrying around on your shoulders and you weren't made to carry them around. See, you're made to give them unto God. Cast them upon Him. Be careful for nothing. And you say, well, I did pray. I prayed this morning. And I didn't get no peace of God, which passes all understanding. Well, what's the problem then, people? What are we missing? We're missing two things. We're to pray always with all prayer and supplication. And he says in this verse in Philippians 4, but in everything by prayer and what? Supplication with what? Thanksgiving. There's two things you're missing to fulfill the promise in verse 7 and qualify for it. Now when you get down upon your face and you cast your cares upon God, not only ask Him to take care of the situation and give you wisdom in how to meet it, but then all of a sudden you feel your need so much for God that you begin to cry out and plead with God for it. And then all of a sudden you start reminding God of all the things that you're thankful for, and you show that gratitude unto God, and you start counting your blessings, and you start letting God know that you're thankful for this and you're thankful for that. And now, as you're pleading and weeping with God with thanksgiving, all of a sudden you get up. Wow, you've got peace. And there's no way on earth anybody can explain the peace that you got right now. You say, I went and prayed. Well, you didn't thank God. Oh, thank you for your blessings, Lord. Why don't you name them specifically? Amen. Why don't you get down and really stir this thing up? If we're to pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, this means we're not going to overcome in some areas until we cry out to God. You know, the Bible says there's some kinds that come not out except through prayer and what? Prayer and fasting. Fasting physically is taking that energy that you use, I don't know, 28%, 30%, I don't know, in digestion. All that stomach churning and all that stuff that's going on. And fasting saying, you know what? I'm going to conserve that energy. And now it frees up a lot of energy, doesn't it? So now your body can heal itself. It can begin to cleanse itself. Fasting is preserving and conserving energy to be used in regard to healing. But fasting in a spiritual sense is showing God that you need Him. You need the time to pray that you would normally be eating lunch. You need to humble your own soul. And Jesus says there's some devils that aren't going to come out except through prayer and fasting. Well, I'm adding to that today because Paul adds to it. There's some that are not going to come out except through prayer and begging. Prayer and crying out to God. Prayer and feeling our need and hating our sin and depending upon God with tears. Now, if you get all three, you got you a super power pack missile. You got an atomic bomb. I'm fasting and I'm weeping and I'm begging. And I'm doing it with thanksgiving and confession of sin. Woo! Look at James 5. Confess your faults one to another. Hey, if you've wronged somebody in this church, don't just let it go year after year. Go break down that wall. Amen? Go let them know. Confess your faults one to another. And pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Does it say the prayer of a man avails much? No, the prayer of a righteous man, and you're not righteous till you confess your sins and forsake them. Prayer of a righteous man availeth much. But it's not just the prayer of a righteous man. It's the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. See, you have to have all these ingredients. People say, well, I pray and nothing's happening. Well, have you studied what the Bible says about prayer? The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Effectual in this verse means earnest. It's defined by the next verse. And it's also defined by good dictionaries. Effectual means earnest. What does earnest mean? It means ardent, zealous, fiery. What does fervent mean? Boiling hot. So the Lord's saying here, that the fiery, boiling, hot prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Sometimes the Lord says, I saw their tears. I saw their tears. That's what gets a hold of God. Not fake tears. Sincere tears. When we turn our eyes to see our sins as the Lord describes them, as we see our need and the need of the saints around us, as we confess our sins and keep at it, as I said, the floodgates of God will open up. Your heart will begin to open and God will be opening heaven for you. Let's connect this with last week's message. Look at Psalms 119, 170. Let my supplication come before Thee. Deliver me according to what? Thy word. Don't you have promises that says He'll deliver you? Don't you have promises? Well, pray it. Lord, You said You're going to deliver me. Let my supplication. Lord, You see me pleading. You see me crying, Lord. And You said that the supplications, You're going to hear them, God. And Lord, let me be delivered now. You hear my tears, God. How long will You rest in this thing, God? Please deliver me. Well, that's taking hold of God, isn't it? And if God still acts like He's not going to do anything, do you just go away and say, forget it, prayer doesn't work? You know that woman, that Gentile woman, who came knocking to Jesus about her daughter? And He acted like He didn't even see her? Boy, she kept knocking. And He says, oh no! We don't give the children's bread to dogs. She could have got insulted. But that's what God does sometimes, to test your faith. But she began to plead with Him. She began to reason with Him why He should help her. And that's what the saints did. Lord, Your name. Don't let Your name be mocked, God. for thy righteousness' sake. And she began to plead. And after refusing to be resisted, refusing to be denied, the Lord turned and blessed her and praised her and says, I have not found such faith in all Israel. Faith. Cry out to God for His promises to be fulfilled in regard to you. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Is that being fulfilled? Pray it. But do more than pray. Cry out to God for its fulfillment in your life and in the life of the backsliders you know. And not only just outright backsliders, but any saints that are losing ground in some area of the battle. Some are not going to come out but by prayer and fasting, and some come not out but by prayers and supplications. As we wind down here, I want to show you this illustrated. So this thing will just be etched upon the face of your heart. Look at Judges chapter 20. Do you have some battles, children of God? Do you have some battles, saints of God? Do you have some needs of the Lord? If you say, I don't know what I need from the Lord, well, you're not looking at this thing right. One of the main things you need is to know your needs. Judges 20, the children of Benjamin came forth out of Gibeah and destroyed down to the ground of the Israelites that day 22,000 men. Now the Benjaminites were very wicked. They had gone off into apostasy and wickedness and done some vile things. And the children of Israel expected them to be punished, the wicked men to be punished, and they weren't being punished. So it was time for war. And they asked God, should we go? And God said, yeah, go up to war. But they were defeated in battle. 22,000 men. And it says in verse 22, the people, the men of Israel, were discouraged and gave up. Is that what it says? No. Now first thing you do, encourage yourself. We're getting some opposition here. It's not going as I expected. I knew this was of the Lord. I knew what we're doing is right. But I'm getting some opposition. That's like when the men wanted to bring that paralyzed man to Jesus, but they couldn't get him to the door because of the crowd. Did they just go home? They said, oh, we got some opposition. Things aren't going right, you know. No. So some people wander into churches and something doesn't go right and they leave. We got to watch for the devil and also understand the Lord will test us. Amen. Praise God, they took the roof off and got that man healed. And praise God, these people right here are going to encourage themselves. And they set their battle again in array in the place where they put themselves in array the first day. But before that, it said the children of Israel went up and wept before the Lord until even and asked counsel of the Lord, saying, shall I go up again to battle against the children of Benjamin, my brother? And the Lord said, go up against him. And Benjamin went forth against them out of Gibeah the second day, and destroyed down to the ground of the children of Israel again. 18,000 men, all these drew the sword. Now they do more. They knew they need to do more than just pray. They wept. And they wept until that night. And the answer still didn't come. Now you think at that point they'd say, forget it. God's not going to hear. We need to find some other way to take care of this. No. You know, Saul went down to the witch when he couldn't get God to move for him. And that's what a lot of American Christians do. So let's see what happened. Verse 26. Then all the children of Israel and all the people went up. Well, that's what it says before. It says they went up. Oh, but this time it's a little more, there's more added. They went up and came unto the house of God and wept and sat there before the Lord and fasted that day until even and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. I tell you what, we're going to get our tithing straight. We're going to get our offering straight. We're going to get our thanksgiving straight. We're going to get our church attendance straight. and we're going to go up and we're going to weep. But hold on, we're not just going to supplicate. We're going to make sure we're covering all the bases. We're going to pray. We're going to go to church. We're going to offer unto God. And we are going to weep. And we're going to, there's one more thing, we're going to fast. And the Lord said, go up, for tomorrow I will deliver them into thy hand. Amen. Praise God! It's as if God sometimes says, how bad do you want it? Yeah. And you got to understand with God, the reason He's doing this is not only to strengthen our faith, and you know it wasn't just a chance that happened unto you, because sometimes you pray for something to happen and it comes, and you're not really sure whether God gave it. You're thinking maybe it was just luck. God forbid, luck's a false god, isn't it? Yeah. Time and time again in Judges, we see the phrase, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. When the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. I tell you what, they'd go bad. They'd start worshiping false gods. They'd go off into their pleasures and idolatries. And God would send invaders into the land that would take over the land, tax them heavily, make slaves out of them. And the people finally would get so sick of it. Hey, I don't think America's sick of it yet. They're going back to the same stupid stuff that they did before. They're falling for the same lies that they fall for every single time. How many times do you have to be deceived? And they've got the same rock and roll music, the same, all this evil. And that gets me, people. I'm just going to say this one thing. It really gets me. People that talk about we need to get back to the foundations of our country. We need to get back to the foundations of what's right and what's straight and all that speaks of order. If you want to interpret the Constitution in a disorderly manner or an orderly manner? An orderly manner. Well, then why do we glorify everything that the communists and Satan used to bring down America? Our families are this way for a reason. People vote. These people are in office because the people voted for. They had them in office. And I know there's a lot of trickery in regard to that stuff. But the point is the people want it this way. They're falling for the propaganda. And I'm telling you, people, until we get back to some common sense holiness, until we get back, until Americans start really crying out to God, and I'm talking about American Christians. Until American Christians really start crying, they're not crying yet. Boy, I wish they'd cry. I guess they're not feeling the change yet enough. Well, if you say, I don't have it so bad, why don't you think of the little babies? Why don't you start thinking of the murder in America? Why don't you start thinking of the innocent, the helpless? And as long as it's not happening to you, you're okay. But I read the news and see what's going on all across the land in people's lives. And I'm telling you, folks, God's not going to move for us until we begin to cry out unto Him. And these churches of America, they're not hurting yet. They really are. They're on drugs. They're on all kinds of things. They've got medical problems. They're dying. They've got emotional problems. Their children, their families are in a mess. But they're just going and doing the same little empty choruses and bouncing around with their rock and roll music and their immodesty. And everybody's saying, we had church today. Give me my cup of coffee. That's what's going on today, folks. If we don't get back to some weeping and some fasting, some of you, if you went without, some of you have never spent a day of your life without food. Some of you would think that you would die if you went a day without food. You've never denied yourself one day of your whole life food. Sometimes when they began to cry unto the Lord answered them. But here was their answer. Here was God's answer. Cry unto your gods. Let them help you. So what God's saying to American Christians, let your rock idols help you. Go bang your head. Let the earring hang down. Call your psychiatrist up, says God. Get your welfare check. Praise God, those people kept crying. Praise God, they said, no, Lord, we mean business. We really want you. And God says, are you sure? I thought you didn't like my ways. I thought you liked the homosexual, sodomite ways of the heathen better than my ways. And as the people said, no, Lord, we want you this time. We're sick of those other ways. And God says, about time. It's about time you got sick of it. And God began to heal their land, and He sent them a deliverer that began to heal their land. Folks, that's where we're at today. It says in Jeremiah 29, you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. As if God is saying plainly, you will not find me halfway. You will not find me half-hearted. You will not find me in your church or in your family or in your life if you're playing games with me. If you got one foot with me and one foot with the world, I tell you, the prophet said, why halt ye between two opinions? If Baal's God, go serve him. If God's right, he said, you're a fundamentalist. Why in the world do I want to be half with God and half with Baal? I mean, if we don't get sold out for God, then let's forget it. He said, well, I don't like your church because, you know, you'll try to be a fundamental. Well, you want to play games with God? If we're not going to do it right, let's go home. You have a song, sister? Thank you. All right, we're going to have a good old-fashioned altar time. You have a little prayer time. If you've got something to say to God, please say it. And I pray that you'll go home and in your private time and in your families, we'll apply some of this. You say, well, what we need, some of them great evangelists that used to live. I listen to some of them great evangelists. They've got tapes of them, folks. And sometimes I can't believe. There's no emotion. There's no nothing. They're like, here we are in the house of God and what we're going to do. But they were bringing great revival everywhere. Like, what in the world's going on here? No great deep things. And then you read about them and they say, oh, I had a few elderly ladies that would pray and cry out to God for hours and hours and hours while I preached. Spurgeon would have a bunch of them that just go downstairs and just pray and pray and pray. I tell you, we can change things. We start crying out to God. Amen? Old Finney, wherever he went, he had an old man that would go out in the woods and he'd be in the church preaching and an old man would be out there in the woods screaming out to God and weeping while he's preaching. People falling down, repenting everywhere around him. Giving up their tobacco, giving up their coffee. He preached everything, man. I tell you, he went in there and he went right to the heart of it. We don't agree with him on everything, but I tell you what, he sure could change a city when he went through it. Amen? And it wasn't just his preaching. It was the people behind him holding up his hands. Amen? Who knows what we could do at Kingdom Baptist Church if some folks helped me hold up my hands. Amen? Praise God for you all. Let's pray. Come forward as you need to. Come forward as you need to.
I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone.
Oh, that's right. That's a good one.
In my distress, He kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for His own.
He does.
I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus. Jesus can help me, Jesus alone.
Oh, use this time for God.
I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. He is a kind, compassionate friend. If I but ask Him, He will deliver. Make of my troubles quickly an end. I must cry out to Jesus, my Savior. I must plead through till victory is sure.
Amen.
Weeping and fasting, God's looking for. And over the world, the victory to win. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus. I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus. Jesus can help me, Jesus alone.
Dear Father, we thank You for the saving gospel that You came down, sent Your Son, died on a cross for our sins, that we might be saved in eternity, Lord. We thank You that it's a free gift. We thank You that it's Your righteousness is perfect, dear Father. We thank You that You have perfect righteousness, the sinless Lamb of God without spot, that He did all the work, obeyed all the commandments, and was perfect, and did always those things that please You, Lord, the things that we have not done. We have all gone astray, and Lord, we've all come short of Your glory, and I thank You that the Son of God has bared our sins, paid for them by His blood, and He resurrected, showing that You accept it, Lord. It is finished. And Father, we do pray that many would come to salvation and put their trust in You right now, Lord, and not their own works, not their own goodness, not their own repentings, not anything, Lord, that they could trust in, but Your righteousness. And Lord, let's have some fruit in this church. And I do pray that we'll have a good lunch together, God, and that You bless this day in Jesus' name. Amen.